Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, O Israel. You haven't brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honoured me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You haven't bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offences. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to come to you. Sorry, Terry isn't with me. He's got family things that he's looking after at the moment. People are being on holiday and he's used as the runaround sort of thing. But it's wonderful that I could come and with Cheryl this morning. It's always a pleasure to come amongst this awesome church and you as an awesome people. It's always a blessing. So let's ask the Lord to be amongst us now in his word. Dear Lord, we would ask that you would provide to us a revelation of your word, that, dear Lord, that you would speak to us. If our hearts have grown weary of your word, we would ask that you would make the beat with your heart beat once again. If our blood perhaps is running thin because we don't have the thickness of the Spirit, we ask that you would come and indwell us right now and that we would be able to hear your word clearly and you would speak directly to us in our hearts and souls and minds and we would be transformed. For, dear Lord, we desire you in our lives, in power and in grace and assurance. Dear Lord, speak to us right now, we would ask in Christ Jesus' name. And God's people said, thank you. Now, Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet of Judah. He prophesied during the reign of four kings. He began his ministry in the year of Uzzah, when Uzzah died, about 740 BC, a long time ago. Isaiah lived until about 701 BC, or perhaps slightly later. He concentrated God's messages regarding Judah and Jerusalem as revealed to him. Isaiah focuses on sincere religion that shows itself in action and not lip service. I wonder if you're a people who show yourselves in action rather than just words. The book calls God's people to use power. Do you have power in your life today, or do you feel that you lack power? But that power in Isaiah's time was to help those weaker than themselves rather than harass those who were weaker than themselves. That is our backdrop to God's revelation here this morning. God was speaking to a people who he no longer wanted to pay lip service to him, but use the power that he gave to them and to build their faith and hope and redemption, which he was providing, so that there would be a power within the world. Church, I wonder what your religion is here this morning. Are you in love with God? Do you have care and consideration for Jesus and who and what he is and what he's done for you? Do you honor and love the Spirit? Or is this morning, is there something that's got your attention? Something, your love and concentration, which isn't God. You may say, well, I'm busy. You don't understand my life. But you see, your life, if you've come to know Christ, is all about God. For if you desire your life to be the right way up, if you desire your life to have impact upon this world, if you want to control the world rather than the world have control of you, then it's all about God. in your life. I wonder if you realize what God has done for you. You see, we have to understand, we need to recognize, we must feel and experience that God the Father has sent His only one and only begotten Son to die upon a cross for you. And that's not to make you feel guilty, but really appreciate the fact that He's taken the punishment that you deserve. You say, well, I don't deserve any punishment. Well, we're all guilty before God. And He came to free you from that guilt. We go to share communion in a short while, where we're going to celebrate that sacrifice so that you would be free. You would know that the things that you've done wrong, the things, the jargon word that we like to use is sin, and the fact that that has been forgiven, if you desire that forgiveness in your life. But do you feel that? Do you experience what God has done upon you and for you? Because of that, do you realize that you're going to spend eternity with Him? And that eternity begins the moment that you come and receive Christ in your life. Do you have that freedom? And do you have that understanding here this morning? And once we make that step, that acknowledgement in the Spirit as we move towards Christ, do you realize that He is amongst us to empower you? Or are you afraid of Him? That He's to give you a revelation and knowledge? Or are you afraid of Him? Do you accept Him? Many people have issues regarding, especially their children. Say, I can't understand. They don't believe in the way that I believe. They don't understand the way that I understand. But do you have the Spirit inside of your life? And does that mean that our children do? They don't receive it automatically. Have you prayed over them? Have you anointed them? Have you asked that God would fill them with His Spirit so that He would change in who and what they are, not perhaps for our benefit, but so they would be empowered and they would have a love of God in their lives? This is what our God does for us. He sent His Son to die so that we might be free. He's lavished Himself upon us. Do you understand that? Do you feel that? I don't know what your life is like or what the definition of your life is. And I wonder perhaps if you fall into some sort of category. I hope it's a category with Christ and His power. But I wonder if any of these categories describe your life. Are you someone who has a deficiency or lack or in short supply? Do you lack brilliance or vitality? When people look at you, do they say, yes, awesome person? Because they know Christ and Christ is in them. And because of that, they are an overcomer. Do you have that in your life? Do you have that brilliance and vitality? Do people seek you out to say, wow, you know, even though they go through the things that they go through, they have this capability and power. Do you have that in your life? God, it's available for you if you would just ask our God, because He desires to lavish Himself upon you. Are you someone who spends your life and resources profusely and abundantly? Or is it that your arms are empty because you haven't allowed God to fill them so that you can spend your life in this way? God says, you have not brought any fragrant calamus for me or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. You see, God asks us to spend our lives in a lavish way. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not necessarily talking about money here. You may say, well, how can I be lavish upon others or live my life in a lavish way? But God has lavished Himself.
Ephesians 1. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. The praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption. Redemption means release when a price is paid. So in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Isaiah 25. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken.
Do you feel that in your life, that God has lavished himself upon you? Are you fearful of death? Do you have fear in your life? Do you fear what tomorrow will bring? Our God has sent his Son to enable you to be free from these things, these shrouds that cover your lives, so that you might see the sun, that you might feel the warmth that he desires to place in your life, so that you would understand the lavishness that he has placed amongst you, to be free from fear. Don't you desire that? And then what freedom that would give you in your life, that you would no longer fear death. Our God has spent himself and the resources that he gives lavishly to pour into your lives are available to you. I wonder if you feel that. Do you understand that? Do you experience that? You see, he sent that which was most dear so that you might know freedom from fear and to fulfill these promises which he has written within this word. For he says, he will swallow up death forever. You will be free from it. And he will wipe away the tears and disgrace. Do you have tears in your eyes as a people? In your life, and do you feel disgrace? Well, Christ will come and give you his hand, and he will smile upon you, and he will wipe away those tears and bless you. So no longer be afraid. No longer feel those things that once people told you about in your life, for I desire to free you from that. For you are my chosen. You are the children of God. Do you understand what that means? The children. You are a child of God. That blessing that that provides you in your life, that authority, for Christ has given you authority. Do you have authority in this world? Or do you feel that the world has you by the scruff of the neck, pulling you this way, pulling you that way, rather than you standing and saying, I am an adopted heir. I am a child of God in the kingdom. Do you feel that? Do you feel it? I hope that you are not full of tears this morning, that you do not fear death and loss. Our God promises to take away the fears of death and gives you eternity. He takes away loss by bringing you back to him. That is how lavish our God is. The mercies that he sends to you daily. Do you experience them? Can you feel them? Do you know them? Do you feel and know that he keeps your heart beating that he provides to you opportunities so that you can love on him. Perhaps you do not have any love in your heart, for your heart perhaps has been destroyed. He can recreate you and pour his love into your hearts so that you can love on him. Do you ever grow towards him so that he knows you and you would know him? It may be that perhaps you live in a world of lack. Perhaps you can be described as a people who have deficiency, that you are in need and short supply, that you lack brilliance and vitality. You see, living in lack has consequences, and our God does not desire that. For it affects the way we live, and it molds our attitudes, our faith and hope. If we fail to recognize God's lavishness into our lives, you know, if we had nothing else, to know that we have a safe and secure eternity, for we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the Spirit in us, we are rich beyond all measure. If we could only recognize that and understand and know that. For if we knew what a lost eternity would mean, we know that we are free from a great peril. And that perhaps then we would stop grasping for those things that we try to fill our lives with, which makes no sense and fulfills us in no really real way that lasts. Lack means in our lives that we look to the past, we think where times were better. The people of God were no different to us. They were trying to find the promised land. God was trying to lead them there. But they constantly complained and moaned to Moses in the Old Testament. And they look back, and this is what it says in Exodus.
The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death."
It's so easy for us, isn't it, to look at the past, to think life was rosy and better then. And the people of Israel were doing the same thing. They look back at a time. They've forgotten that they were in slavery. When the male babies, when they were born, were taken and cast into the rivers to drown. They'd forgotten these things. They were looking back with nostalgia because they felt hurt. They'd forgotten the times of oppression and deep sorrow, for it was clouded by nostalgia. They thought they preferred times of persecution, horror, to freedom and closeness to God. They had failed to grasp the hope that God desired to give them in his kingdom. Do you like that? You feel like I've taken a few steps to God, but my life seems harder, more difficult. I don't understand. Because you haven't grasped the freedom and love and purpose that Christ would desire to place in your life. To give you that greatness because you have failed to accept and understand that you are a child of God, an adopted heir to the kingdom of God, that you have the storehouses of heaven available to you in your life. You say, well, that hasn't happened to me in Christ. Is it because you have fear? That you have fear? You don't believe that your prayer and your purpose will have an impact upon this world? For you see, the fields are full, but the workers are few. Is the promised land before you? But because of your nostalgia, you keep yourselves from it. Because of your lack of trust, and perhaps you have a small vision, you keep yourselves stuck in the desert. You see, this is not what God has planned for you. For you're supposed to be a people of lavishness and not lacking in power or righteousness and blessing. You see, stop keeping yourselves within that desert. Don't hanker back to the past, to those things in your life, because it looks and seems so much better there. We believe we deserve better. God knows you deserve so much more. Is it your attitudes keep you stuck and you inhabit a land of lack, a desert? And because of that, you've built up a resentment to God. And because of that, God can't get through to you. God can't get inside of you. God can't change you. God can't sweep away that anger that you feel. And rather than pour love into your life. And because if your arms are tight and kept together, then God can't break through and fill your arms with blessing. Perhaps you don't feel comfortable with God, and I can understand that. And God's people felt the same, for when they came before the mountain of God, the people were afraid of losing who and what they held dear. Do you feel like that? That perhaps you might lose who and what you are rather than gain who and what you should be? Is God speaking to you this day? Is he trying to press in and he's trying to say, trust me, trust me? Is his presence making you hanker back to the past when God was conveniently held in a vacuum-packed him sandwich that you could just take from the shelf? A sandwich which you can cope with because it would fill you for a little while. When God is saying, can you love me? Can you love me? Can you lavish your attention on me so I can speak to you and encourage you and build you up and allow you to develop and grow so that you might be within my kingdom? For the gate is open to you. Stop being in the desert. You see, God is looking for you, looking to you. What sort of relationship do you have with God? Is it a lavish one, or is it a poor imitation with no substance? Do you bring to him yourself, or are you just open on a Sunday for an hour or two? God is such a great blessing for you. But if you stay in the land of lack, he can't reach you. You see, because the land of lack means you lack faith, you lack hope, you lack love, you lack purpose, you lack greatness, you lack vision, you lack a relationship, you lack blessing. God is saying, come to me, into my kingdom, my land that flows with milk and honey, so I can bless you and change you to the person that you should be. You see, God wants to lavish himself upon you again, for God says, please give me a chance. Is your response to God this? So God says to you, you have not brought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. This morning, do you know him? I pray that God is not a stranger to you. Jesus desires to be with his people in an extravagant and lavish way, if only we would allow him to be. He wants you to respond to him so he can be extravagant in your life, to grow you. He says, do not be afraid of him. He desires to be with you. Are you keeping him away from yourselves? Do you desire to embrace him so that he might lavish his love in your life? You may say, well, I don't deserve that lavishness. You must do, for Christ came so that you might receive. Lack or lavish, in God, it's your choice. What do you want in your life? The Israelites seem to be forever in lack, for they struggled against God every inch of the way, even though God manifests himself in such a powerful and awesome way in their lives. They couldn't approach God or recognize God, even though God rained down his lavishness again and again. They were blind to his blessings. You see, God loves you. The Bible tells us so. God desires to walk amongst you as a people, to fix you and mold you, to prepare you, to heal you, to make you a people that he can be proud of, so that you might know that you are the children of God. But it's a relationship that's a two-way street. You cannot ignore him. If you do, then do not expect his blessing. If you keep the door closed, how can he come and sup with you? You have to be prepared to be involved with him and walk with him within his kingdom so that he can walk with you in your lives. You see, Jesus has rescued, won, fought, cried, worried, and reached into the darkness to rescue your life so that you might come home once again. I wonder if you recognize this. Do you keep yourselves in the land of lack because you think you don't deserve it? Because you feel so guilty? Because you think you should be deserved to be punished? Christ took the punishment for you so that you might live in the land of lavishness. Don't permit yourself any longer to be in that place. Instead, go from that desert into the land that flows with milk and honey. Are you this morning, this day, prepared to be the fragrance of calamus so God can breathe you in and say, my people, they recognize me. They're walking with me. Are you prepared to give the lavishness of your life as a sacrifice of fat before the Lord? For you see, he's done the same for you, for he sustains you. That he stands by your door and knocks. Are you going to let him in? So that you would be in that land of lavishness. He is here this morning in the power of his Spirit. Are you going to follow him so that he recognizes you as that calamus, that sweet smell, and the fat which burns up, which is an aroma that he desires. And you'll gladly and freely give him that so he can smile and bless you in a way that you've never been blessed before. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people and would ask that you would bless them. Dear Lord, perhaps there's people here that feel that they don't deserve this, but your Son has made that possible because he took the guilt and shame and punishment upon himself. Perhaps there's people here in fear of you, because they fear death. Dear Lord, take that away from them. For you have said in your word you would take that shroud from and that covering from this world. Perhaps there's people here in tears because of the way this world has treated them. Dear Lord, wipe those tears away. And let them know, perhaps you can't accept love, but accept mine. But it goes beyond all the love of this world. And I can recreate your heart. Perhaps there's people here this morning that have been abused, dear Lord, and hurt in terrible ways. You are a God that will come in and provide with them forgiveness. And you will wipe those memories away so that they would only know the blessing of you. Dear Lord, help people reach out and ask for these things this morning. Let the Lord minister to you for a few moments here this morning. Open your doors to your hearts and lives and allow him to come into your life and allow his lavishness to be amongst you. Spend a few moments of quiet. Dear Lord, for your blessing and encouragement. And dear Lord, help us now as we come before your table here this morning. That, dear Lord, we can freely come because of what you've done. Celebrate this bread and this wine. And your presence and lavishness. Thank you.